Just a loose end from last week, just to add on. So we spoke at the end about the fascinating concept of Migo, the heavy dolphin in Sukkah, heavy dolphin in Shabbos, and vice versa. And we noted that there were two ways we could understand that concept. That the concept is a little challenging, besides just being very interesting and mechudish, is a little challenging because we spent a number of minutes last week establishing differences between Shabbos and Sukkah and why they have different rules. And then all of a sudden we say at the end, okay, but when they interact in the same time, so then we can borrow principles from one to the next. So why should we be able to borrow principles from one to the next? If they don't follow the same kind, if they don't have the same principles, they don't have the same underlying concepts, so then they shouldn't follow the same rules. We should say for this purpose it works, and for that purpose it doesn't work. So we noted that there are two ways to approach this. One is to say that really this reflects something special about Sukkah and Shabbos, that there is a connection between the two, and that as much as there's different, there's still overlapping similarities. And that therefore, even though this would not have constituted a wall for the purposes of Shabbos, but Shabbos does recognize the Rishus HaYochid as having significance. So if it's a Sukkah, and a Sukkah is a Dira, and a Dira is a Rishus HaYochid, so then for Shabbos we will also recognize that, even though when it's not Sukkahs, we won't. We mentioned also that there's a different way to see this as broader, and as applying throughout Halacha. At any time you have the intersection of two different halachic planes, even if they otherwise have different rules, they still nonetheless share principles when they collide. So we gave the example relevant to this year of a Yom Kippur falls out on Sukkah. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, as it does this year, and the question some of the Achronim ask, since there's different standards for eating on Shabbos and for eating on Yom Kippur, why don't we say, let's make Kiddush on Yom Kippur and have a small amount, have a kezias. It'll be enough to fulfill the directive of eating on Shabbos while not violating the Isser Daraisa, at least, of eating on Yom Kippur. A lot of technical details to this question, which we won't go over again now, but we meant this only going to work according to one opinion of the Gemara to begin with. But we mentioned how Rabbi Shlomo Warman has an essay about this in one of his Sfarim, where he says that this could be a reflection of the Migo principle also, that even though normally on a regular Yom Kippur, if you were to have a kezias, that would be beneath the threshold to be chayef Yom Kippur. But when it's Shabbos, and you're saying you want this to be your Shabbos Suda, so then it's hard to imagine it can both be your Shabbos Suda and not be significant for Yom Kippur. What about the fact that they have different rules? Why do we have this principle? So we suggested that you have to say that it probably works along the lines of achshvei, that we have this notion that sometimes the halacha doesn't automatically recognize something as being significant. But if you are machshavit, if through your behavior you show that you are paying attention to it, so then that changes things. So just like you can be machshav something, presumably other halachos can also be machshav something. So, and maybe at the Yom Kippur, it is davka you, because you are paying attention to this as a Shabbos Suda. So it's the halacha together with your actual plan here. So then that gives it chashiva. So even though a kezias in Yom Kippur is not automatically chashiv, but for you to sit down and invite everyone to your Shabbos Suda, it's hard to imagine that that's not going to be considered eating on Yom Kippur too. So I mentioned the time that he has a few other examples. We didn't have time on Wednesday to say all about them, so I'll mention one now, which is particularly interesting. Also appears in the Masechta Sukkah. Do you have a question about that?
No, just I remember seeing there's like a Pesach Shuvah. I remember that any mizonos on Shabbos, because you're constantly Shabbos Oneg, it's like you would make a hamotzi automatically on like cake, or and like also by Inkish Makam Suda of Moshe. Is it like you could, even grapes, let's say, like, you know,
Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that, which is a little different than others. It was that you can make kiddush, but you're not yotze kiddush.
No, but you would be yotze, because anything you eat, because of Shabbos Oneg, becomes like as chashivas because of the mitzvah of Shabbos.
Yeah, I think he says a little differently. I think he says that it's a kiddush to say that you can make kiddush. You might say that I can't make kiddush unless I'm going to be yotze kiddush. So he divides between them. He says you can make kiddush and have a snack, and you'll still have to make kiddush again later. But it's true that there is such a notion in general. Or Sfarim, for example, a policy that they make mizonos on matzah all year round, except on Pesach. You know, that the mitzvah changes it. So that's also reflective of an interesting idea. So he has a few other examples, just one that it's not really sukkahs related, but is in Masechet Sukkah. So just to throw it out there also. So there is a beautiful sugya later on in Sukkah. Hopefully we'll be able to maybe get there. Beautiful sugya of Shemei Ka'oneh. And there is a machlokes, Rashi, and Tosfos, which appears in Masechet Sukkah and Masechet Brachos. And again, Sunday we'll hopefully get an opportunity to go into it in detail. But Rashi has this position that if you are in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and the Tzibur is saying Kedusha, so then you should just stop, because you can't answer in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, but you should just stop and listen, and you'll fulfill your obligation through Shemei Ka'oneh. You'll be responding to Kedusha through Shemei Ka'oneh. So Tosfos says that's a terrible idea, because if you're going to do that, so then Shemei is Ka'oneh, so then you will be mafsik. So better you shouldn't stop. You're going to have a hefsik that's going to be created. So this is the whole discussion, who's right about this. So part of the suggestion could be that maybe in a chanami, maybe it wouldn't necessarily be a hefsik to just listen to something without saying anything. But if you're going to, maybe the position of Tosfos is that you want this to count as a mitzvah, you want this to count as something that's actually going to score you points as far as answering Kedusha, so then we can't say at once that it both counts and doesn't count. We can't say that it both is a response and isn't the hefsek. So that was perhaps the machlokas. There's many other angles to that machlokas, which I look forward to someday discussing. It's a beautiful sugya, but that's just another example of this whole mutual recognition clause that we possibly find in halacha. Okay, so let's just have a few minutes. Let's say a few words about the walls and about the rules for the walls. So we know that we have certain rules of a sukkah that appear in the Mishnah, first Mishnah, that the Mishnah tells us that a sukkah can't be more than 20 amas high, and has to be at least 10 tefachim high, and has to have three walls. So what about the space of a wall across? So that, as you saw this morning, is 7 tefachim. So the question is, why is that not here? Ariel, did you ask this question? Somebody asked this. Somebody had asked this question before, right? Was it you? Somebody asked this question that why is it that this din is not in the Mishnah? It's also appropriate to this context. So the Sfarim do raise this question, and they have various suggestions. Rav Eliyahu Weissfish, who wrote a sefer on Hilchos Sukkah, so he suggests that it has to do with what angle we're coming from. Because the question is, where do you get this measurement of 6x6? What's it based on? 6x6 and 7x7. So machlokas, so there should be 6x6. That's what I was about to explain. It's a machlokas b'Sol and b'Shamai, really, whether it should be 6x6 or 7x7. So what's the measurement based on? So the truth is, we haven't seen this yet, but the Gemara tells us on Daf Gimel, as well as later on, that it has to do with how much the sukkah has to include. Does the sukkah have to include you and your body and your table? Or can your table be outside, at least Min HaTorah? So it's a machlokas, how much space is necessary to include as much of you as is necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. So what he suggests is that the basic breakdown of the Masechta is that the first parak, as we're trying to get as much of as we can before Yontif, the first parak is about creating a sukkah, and the second parak is about the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. And then after that we get into the lulav. So maybe the idea is that the area of a sukkah, the 7x7 area, what drives that din? Since we see what the machlokas is based upon, about how much of you needs to be in the sukkah, so really it's a din in yeshiva sukkah. It's a din in how you have to fulfill the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. So therefore, it's derived from a second parak concept. So it makes sense that that comes up in the second parak. While the first Mishnah, the first parak, is telling us about creating a sukkah as a dira, and therefore the rules of a dira, that's what it talks about here in the first Mishnah. And this other din, which seems very related, really comes because of yeshiva besukkah, and that's why its home is later. Hi.
Yeah, but the 20 amos could also be a din in dira in terms of the opinion of why it has to be less than 20 amos.
Yeah. Right, it is. That's the thing. The first parak is dira. And the second mitzvah,
the first parak is building.
Right, building a dira. First parak is about creating a sukkah, and a sukkah has to be a dira. So the halachas of dira are here in this first parak. But the practical mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, what you have to do, how do you have to sit in the sukkah? Do you have to sit in the sukkah with your body inside the sukkah and your table can be outside, or does the table have to be inside? All the rules of how you fulfill the mitzvah on sukkahs itself, that's really a second parak topic. So since this, the area of the sukkah, comes from that, so therefore its appropriate place is there. Okay, so we have walls that have to be 7, but what if the wall doesn't come up? So let's say you have a wall below and it doesn't go up. So what halacha would we need in order for that to work? So it seems like we need a concept called good asik mechitza. Now, I didn't put this on the Makoros today because you saw it the other day, but I remember that the Gemara says that there are a number of things that are halacha l'moshe mesinai. And this Gemara appeared on Vav Amud Beis, started on Vav Amud Aleph, but the key line was on Vav Amud Beis, that the Gemara says, right in the top third of the page, Ki asai hilchasa, what the halacha l'moshe mesinai comes to tell us, lagud v'lavud v'dofen akuma, which is a lot of our agenda for this week. So good, good asik, maybe good achis also, at least for now, good asik, that the wall goes up, and lavud, which means that if it's less than 3 tvachim away, it can be considered connected. So all of this is halacha l'moshe mesinai. Now, what we'll see here is that there's a possibility that we don't hold from good when it comes to in favor of good things in general, but good asik maybe is not a concept in sukkah. So we'll have to read this Gemara as not necessarily talking about sukkah, that maybe the Gemara appears here in sukkah and is listing some of the related halach l'moshe mesinai that have a common element, but maybe it's only about Shabbos. Maybe it's only about the mechitzas of Shabbos, and maybe not even about sukkah at all. And then even within Shabbos, and this I'll tell you a little bit more about tomorrow, there's also a machlokas just how far good plays a role. But let's say within sukkah, so it seems like it's a machlokas. So you saw the Gemara on Daf Dalet and Midbeis, right? So what's the case the Gemara talks about over there? Right, somebody want to help me out? So you saw this Gemara, right? So what's the case there the Gemara talks about in Dalet and Midbeis? Yeah? Sorry? You have the poles, right? Okay, so I'll help you out. Right, so you have 4 poles on top of the roof, and they don't have actual walls. Right? They just have poles. So that seems like it's no good. But it's in the machlokas in the Gemara and in the Rishonim. What are we talking about when we say it's no good? Right? Because why might it be good? In other words, one case we know is for sure no good. When is it for sure no good? If it's on the ground in the middle of a roof, right? So you have no walls anywhere nearby, and you have 4 poles, that's nothing. But when might it be good? What's the machlokas in the Gemara? When might it be good? Right, so if you have it on the corners, so then the impression is that maybe you can say good asik, you can have the walls from below then shoot up, and maybe that is good. So that's machlokas in the Gemara, and it comes out to machlokas in the Rishon, and the Rambam is mekel on that, the Rambam accepts that, and the Rush was machmir. So, the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch say about this?
Passing like the Rush.
Meikar passing like the Rush. But, quotes the Rambam as a Yeshomer, right, exactly. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch basically follows the Rush's opinion while acknowledges the Rambam's position. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying that we don't have a din of good asik mechitzta by Sukkah. At least primarily, the primary opinion, according to Shulchan Aruch and the Rash, is that this din that you can count walls as going up does not apply to Sukkah. But is that the whole story? Unfortunately, we'll have to see tomorrow. But we got a little bit into it. I'll give you, God willing, some more makaras to see tomorrow. We'll pick up from that. And again, our agenda, we'll throw in Lubbud also. So our agenda, get good Asik, Lubbud, all of that should be, we should be well versed in before Yantif. Thank you for your accommodation. Wish you a wonderful day. And